We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
How about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Dog Nation, we are back in the building. It's 100 Sanford. It's Lovelace. It's Foster. And guess what, Foss? It ain't going to take that long. I'm just going to let the fans know right now. Kirby said it ain't going to take that long. It ain't going to take that long again. What's going on today, brother?
Hey, I'm in the house today. We back. A little less melancholy. You know what I mean? With recruiting and all that, it seems like 24th season has started up already. We're putting the hay in the barn as far as recruiting goes. Still got that number one class of some young youngsters that are, you know, coming to help us get back to the top of the mountaintop. It ain't like we fell off the mountain. We still hanging up there, checking out things. You know, we let somebody else hold a controller for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You can play a little bit. But we're going to take our controller back very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon.
We know that time is coming. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Look, we're going to get into all of this. We got Graham coming on. We got a great guest coming on today that's actually going to help us talk about a little bit what's going on with college football, right? What sweatshirt you got, brother? What sweatshirt is that? Is that straight from, you know, the equipment manager? What is that? Because
I had to buy this, man. I probably got this off of, you know, some website. You know, who knows? We'll figure it out. I probably might say who it is one day. They sponsor us.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. I got a little Ben Gay on my shoulder, you know, like the BioFree. Yeah, brother, I'm trying to get sponsored by them because, you know, you get a little older, you got the little bruises. You gotta get that. But hey, before you go any further, you know what to do. Hit that subscribe button. Foss, show them where it's at. Show them where it's at on the screen. There it is. Yeah, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you like the show. That way, we continue to grow. We continue to give y'all everything that you need. Then head on over to IG, TikTok, Facebook, and the X. Like and forward the show to all your friends. Then last but not least, you already know what to do. Go over to Dog Central, the collaboration for the nation for intel, posts, pods, video, and everything that you need to get from Dog Nation. Then you already know what to do. Everybody needs insurance. It's Christmas time. Times is tough. Times is rough. But make sure you take care of your family. Hit up my guy, Justin Elijah, based in Texas, but a dog man through and through, who was licensed in all 50 states. He worked with various major carriers, Mutual of Omaha, North American, AIG, and others, along with offering affordable options in life insurance, retirement plans, and others. Give him a call, 229-400-4759. And when you call, make sure you tell them 100 Sanford hit you up and sent you there. Last but not least, you already know we were talking about gear. Now, I don't have mine on today. I got the old school joint on today. But head on over to Home Field Apparel, our favorite spot to get unique, comfortable, and officially licensed NCAA apparel. Choose from a wide selection of Georgia apparel in over 150 colleges. I got to get my wife the new Pitt joint. I got to get my brother the Duquesne University joint. My dad's a Pitt alum. I got to get him some stuff. So, hey, it's the holidays. So use the online convenience and order the gear with the unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments. Use the promo code 100 Sanford for 15% off your first order. That's 100 Sanford for 15% off your first order. And we promise you won't be disappointed. So, Foss, let's get back into it. Like I said, we got Graham getting ready to come on.
Man, I need to get that sweatshirt, man. We got the same thing going on, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Your hat, my hat matches your shirt.
What the, you know, we can switch, but you know, I'll be big guy in a little coat. No, I do be big guy in a little coat.
I'll be big guy.
I might be drowning.
I don't know if I can borrow that one. You dig?
Nah, I'll tell you what, Foss, man, you one of my partners, so you know what? I already got the address. You never know when something might come in that Christmas bag for you underneath that tree. I got you hooked up, man. We got Graham coming on. You know, Graham's a little slimmy slim, so we got to get him like a small or something like that. I don't know, but
you know,
we'll take care of him.
Some young fellas, some slim fellas.
But man, look, we got to calm Dog Nation down. I mean, Facebook, IG. I mean, everywhere you go. I was in the grocery store, ran into somebody here in Virginia. We were talking about the game, and man, they were like, oh my gosh, you know, we lost, and we're falling back to the 80s. To the 80s? What are y'all talking about? You must be talking about 1980 when we won the championship and it was ready to hit, you know, go for another. Come on, people are going
nuts. Man, it, like, the panicking is ridiculous.
Yeah, man.
all of a sudden, we, you know, it's Dire Straits. All of a sudden, you know, Bobo is
it's Bobo's fault, right? Everything was crazy.
You mean the Brawls Award nominee? Oh man, they get the news about. You know, we got some more news coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely news to talk about.
They get recruiting news, and you know, they want to jump off the boat, and you know, it's like, just relax.
Well, Foss, look, we still
getting the best kids in the country.
Yes,
that fit our program.
Yes, 100%.
And we have an undefeated regular season team coming back, you know, most of the guys from that team, like, and then we have guys that were hurt that's coming back, you know, some studs,
yes,
you dig, that are coming back. Like, we're gonna be fine, just relax.
No, relax. These people are like Chicken Little, man. They running around screaming, heads cut off, the sky's falling. Bama, you know, Bama got us. Bama going always get us. And I'm like, y'all got to relax that thing. But then, obviously, we get the big news. And we can start talking about this. Like I said, Graham Kopp, he's going to come on. One of our partners is going to come on. He's going to help, you know, add a little bit more context to this. But we get news that the number one recruit in Georgia's class, mind you, the number one recruiting class in the nation that was almost dang near bound to break records, he's taking visits. And he's taking a visit to Nebraska. Nothing has been settled yet. And as we all know, Nebraska was one of his finalists to begin with. He's got family there. His dad is familiar with that area up there, right? So that is on the table. But here's the key. There's always another team on the table for a recruit. The bottom line is that Georgia has to do what Georgia has to do to recruit the best players that it can recruit. And after that's done, the decision's in the hands of the player. So the player that we are talking about, Dylan Raiola, yes, he was the number one quarterback when he was committed to Georgia. I mean, by the, you know, in the last few months, a couple guys have passed him up. Jillian Sayin has passed him up. There's some other ones out there. But what are your thoughts, man? What are your early thoughts on all of this? Because, again, people think the sky is falling. Just because one guy has maybe decided to maybe take a different course of his own life.
The sky was falling when we named Stetson Bennett starter for the Dogs.
Right.
How did that turn out?
Facts.
How did it turn out twice?
Facts.
The sky's always falling, you know, with Georgia football. So, you know, I'm not surprised, but people have to relax, you know. You do, like, more times than not, it does take a good effort from your quarterback to win and to win big. So you want the best talent you can get in-house at that position. But Georgia is a well-rounded program. you know. And also, first of all, now granted, typically nowadays in recruiting, where there's smoke, there's fire. But at the same time, the kid hadn't signed nowhere. He's still committed to Georgia. You know what I mean? It would be very easy for him to decommit. You know, true. and just put it out there. You know what I mean? So until he decommits, he's committed to Georgia, and we love to have him. You know, talented kid, talented arm. You know what I mean? He has it together upstairs. We love to have him. In the event that he chooses another institution, Georgia's still gonna be fine. You know, hopefully we get Beck back. You know, still got, you know, Gunner in the fold, who I've heard great things about. And we still have Ryan Puglisi,
yes, sir,
in the fold, you know, as far as commits go. You know, so it's hard for me to get riled up about a teenager that made. I have teenagers,
right?
I have kids his age. listen. Let me tell you, you know, they are a trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Including world class, athletic, high school football players. They're all a trip.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So they make the decisions that they feel are best for them. Hopefully, they make informed decisions. And as adults in this thing, that I like to emphasize that as an adult, I wish them all well. I don't do the creepy stuff that we find adults doing online.
Some of the stuff is outrageous, man. I mean, they're calling the kid trash. They saying, you know, he's all of a sudden he's not a five star.
All of a sudden he's not good. Like, that's, you know, a, and I've seen him throw the ball.
Yeah, he can sling it, right? I'll be the first one to tell you, Foss. When I was always big on Ryan Puglisi, and here's the reason why I was big on him was because I like his toughness. He kind of reminds you of like Brett Favre-ish. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like that style of quarterback to begin with. But I do like the way he's always stayed settled and committed. That's the one reason I like them. Even when he committed early, right?
Yeah.
He never backed down from a challenge. He went to the Elite 11. Obviously, he didn't even get the top billing that a guy like Dylan got. And at the same time, I'm sold on Dylan. Awesome player, man. The boy's going to ball out no matter where he goes. It does not matter. He's got that type of talent. He's a generational type of talent. I wish him the best, but I'm going to be an adult no matter what. I'm never going to clown a kid, never going to down a kid. People would be surprised at how many individuals, how many student athletes right now that have either flipped their commitment from Georgia or, you know, never even committed to Georgia that I actually, you know, talked to, man. I mean, DM that back and forth. Oh, thanks for, I appreciate you for this. I appreciate you for that. If you follow me on the X, you'll see it. I'm interacting with some of these kids because I just want the best for their lives, man. We all want, you know, society to be a better, you know, to be a better place for these individuals to grow up, become great men in their communities, great family, you know, great husbands, great fathers, all these great things. So why, like, clown these dudes right now while they're in the midst of making a decision that'll impact the rest of their lives? And man, it's mind-boggling to me. The
highest level, especially now, man, it's a different game now, man.
Yeah.
Like you can make a decision that, you know, like you said, impacts the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Like if these numbers and stuff that I'm hearing are legitimate, like around the country, what these players can make, listen, 99.9% of them will never see an NFL locker room.
No.
That is a fact. If you can make life-changing money to enter the world with after you graduate, and by making a decision on where to go to school to play to play a sport,
right?
Listen, do it. Make the best decision for you. I'll never be mad at that. Yeah. You know what I mean? These, you know, is you can get educated anywhere in the country. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. And you now, if your goal is for a national championship, I'm gonna keep it a bean. There's only a few places you can get that done, potentially. There's, you know, Georgia's one of them. If you're looking to be, you know, a champion, get some hardware, all that good stuff. Yes, there's only a few places, maybe a handful on a good year, maybe 6-7. We'll see with the new playoff and all that stuff. Yes. But if your goal is the next level, if your goal is to get a bag, there's a lot of people can do that for you. Like they, when I was a scout, I've interviewed Division III kids, Division II kids, you know, kids from Hobart? Where was Ollie Marpet from? Like, I talked about, if you can ball, we'll find you. You know what I mean? You know, so I don't care where these kids go, man. Let them make the best choice for them, because all their goals, you know, with the exception of maybe winning at the highest level, can be reached anywhere. And if they can do that while padding their pockets, listen, go do it. Go do it. Because I didn't enjoy the broke days. You know, it ain't fun being broke.
Not at all, brother.
No, it ain't fun. You know, I found ways to get some bread in college. You know what I mean? I was never, oh man, I can't eat today. You know, but there was moments where, you know, I ain't have a ton. You know what I mean? If these kids can go to school and find a place for them where they ain't gotta worry about that stuff, and then possibly some of the really good kids can make like really, really life-changing long term. Like I know kids, their kids with real estate before mm-hmm. they leave college. You know what I mean? I had to get a signing bonus first before I bought a house. You know what I mean? These kids, right. You know, these kids are able, they're putting themselves in position, and a lot of them are very smart. They're putting themselves in a very good position to move forward in life. You know, so I'll never be mad at those decisions.
Graham. Welcome to the show, baby.
Thank you, man. You
come in right before our guest is probably getting ready to come on. So I know what's going to happen. And it happens every time. Every time you really get into the crux of what you're trying to say. Our guest is like, enough of that nonsense. So
yeah.
Welcome to the show, man. Welcome back. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, sorry. I had another meeting. I was in a work meeting that ran over. But I'm happy to be here. And yeah, excited for our guest, and it's just crazy, man. I tweeted
Graham, I gotta cut you off. See, we're good.
It's perfect. Graham, I can really get rolling, dog.
It's Graham was about to, but I knew you was about to hit us with some real fire. You know what I mean? And then we got this dude coming on, man.
Hey, George, you gotta do what you do, man. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta introduce our next guest. You know what we do with on the 100 Sanford podcast. We bring the best. We bring the people that can bring that fire, that can light this thing up. So, George, do the honors.
Today, man, I ain't got much to say, man. We got the great Bomani Jones joining us today, man. A man that he's literally one of the more intelligent people that I know. But he, you know, it depending on who you are, he ain't gonna make you feel like a dummy. You know, he could get his point across. Now, if you want to go there, you know, he could cut you up pretty. He could fillet you real good.
Oh, so I felt like that just watching him on TV sometimes.
I prefer not to do it to people. You know what I mean? But sometimes people just feel like they got to test me.
You withhold pretty well. And people don't, people just get the, when you cut them, when you dicing people up, that's what goes viral. But more often than not, you know, Bo, he spares the people, you know.
I got nicer over the years, man. Like, I just had to kind of fall back and just kind of realize. Like, it was one thing when I was the people's champ. Now people think I'm the man. It don't go over the same way. You know? Like, when I was up and cover, people found it to be charming.
Yeah, you the man now. You big media.
that's exactly it. I am old school now. I'm getting a lot more unk. Like what you just call me, homie.
You are unk now. I just like I am unk, man.
Yeah, but let me ask you this about unk. I wonder if you feel the same way about unk. I don't have a problem with unk. I just want to know what happened to sir. Like, I feel like I've lived a life and I've earned my way up to sir. What happened to sir?
I have just accepted it now, man. It really hit home with me when my last year playing ball, I was with the Colts. And it was a couple guys from Middle Georgia that were on the team. And they was like, man, we used to watch you in middle school. And I was like, what you talking about? We used to watch you in middle school. Did you used to watch me play high school ball in middle school? Or are you talking about you used to watch me in the league in middle school? Like, what are you talking about here? And man, people be calling me Unk. OG. Now, I do have an old soul. There are people that call me Big Bro that they don't, I don't know if they realize that they're older than me. Right. You know what I mean? But it's all good. I'm happy to be here. You know right. what I mean? Growing old is awesome. I don't feel awesome all the time, but it's cool.
What's the black thought line? A growing ass man out of pay, my dudes, learn the rules. Little homie, you can be one too. They don't understand how real that line is. Like, man, one day real. You can be like this.
Yep. But we're glad to have you on here, man. A man that can talk about a plethora of things. But right around here on 100 Sanford, we talk college football, you know, college sports. We dibble and dabble in a few other sports. But we get to the nitty gritty. We keep it light, but we keep it right. You dig? You know, no fluff. You know, how you doing, man?
Dude, man, I'm good. I just got through recording the pod with Van Lathan. We were talking about Dion. Like, I'm in this. I feel like I hate this so much, man. For some reason, white people think we don't watch college football. I don't understand. Like, when I worked at ESPN, I mean, but it was the thing. When I worked at ESPN, where my agent, I tried so hard to get involved in the college football coverage. And my agent would tell people, and they'd always be like, oh, I didn't know Bomani watched college football. But you don't actually know anything about me. Why is this the thing that, like, jumps off the page at you? They just can't conceptualize the idea. So anytime I get to like talk college football with black people, that, you know, like the Dion thing was weird because, you know, I was college football conversation with black people who didn't watch college football. This is a little bit of a different situation. So I'm thrilled to be here.
You were a we can call you a recovering Texas Longhorn fan. You could choose or choose not to divulge why you're recovering.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell it because I need everybody to understand this. Like, I'm glad I got 05, right? I got 05 out of the deal. But, hey, man, I felt like a sucker after they went like they did about that damn Eyes of Texas. And the boys are like, hey, man, you know, it kind of feels degrading to us. We'd appreciate it if you guys would stop. And they're like, nah, not only are we not going to stop, you're going to stay in here and you're going to salute this song after every game. And so now every time they do something good, I'm reminded of what they think about me when I would rather just kind of like let it slide and just chalk this up to something that we have mutually in common. And so I just like, I can't be who I am in this world and still be out here riding for this. Now, I'll admit it was a lot easier to do that when they was out here going 6-6, 7-5, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't that hard to quit. When that was going on. But when Sark took the job and it was very clear that they told him, you're going to say at this press conference that we go see in the Eyes of Texas. I was just kind of like, man, I can't rock with y'all. And then it didn't feel bad because that was 7-win Sark at the time. Like, that's what they called him when he was at Washington, right? And I was like, oh, okay, I mean, how far is this really going to go? Apparently to the playoff, boys. Sark got that. Sark learned some things down there in Tuscaloosa. It got that thing humming.
What you think about them, man? They what I want to know, and I wrote this down to ask you, is it fool's gold, or do you know enough about them to say is it fool's goal or is it real? What do you think?
So this is my thing with them, is that the fall of the Texas football program, and this is something that you with UGA, you guys could relate to, because the same thing was going on at the same time. Georgia was able to do enough stuff around it. But where you go one of these 10-year stretches where you don't produce any NFL offensive linemen, or like barely any, and you just, and in the state of Texas in particular, it just didn't make any sense, where they were just getting hammered at the line of scrimmage. Like, to, you know, make it relevant to Georgia again, that 90s run of playing against Spurrier. Spurrier wasn't beating them with his brilliant offensive scheme. Them boys were mauling them at the line of scrimmage on both sides. And Texas had become a program that was weak on the line of scrimmage. The boys do not look weak on the line of scrimmage no more, Jack. No. That does not seem to be the issue that they got.
To put that in perspective, and just because I'm part of this stretch, before Isaiah Wynn went in the first round, who was the last first round lineman they had?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm talking to him right now.
You are correct.
That middle school player.
Yeah.
That stretch. That was like a,
it's like 15 years.
15 years. Yeah. Yeah. Like 15 years. That's unheard of. You don't win. You can't win championships like that. Mm-mm. Like you gotta pump out first and second round trench guys consistently.
In that Kirby era, them names started rolling out there. Andrew Thomas was coming off the line, right? And it starts going. Yeah. Texas, like Charlie Strong, got Connor Williams in. I think that was the first one they'd had. The Cosme dude that plays for Washington now was a Texas guy. But even then, like, you have to get that straight. Even in the Big 12, where you think you don't need that stuff. Oh, no. You need it. And to go to the SEC, they really need it. Because my read on Texas going to the SEC was, otherwise, they never get any players, because the SEC West was just coming in and taking all the good players from Texas. But now, finally, they have an incentive and they have to be good, because they'll get embarrassed over here in a much different way. Like, getting embarrassed in the Big 12, people come over and laugh and say you're not good. You come over here and get embarrassed in the SEC, y'all going to be on the big game a lot, because you got the biggest fan base in the conference. People going to be watching you get your ass whooped week after week after week. and they changed a lot. They changed how they do things at the stadium. They have ramped up the environment, all because they don't want to get embarrassed when they come over there to that reel.
So they changed the whole, like the whole experience.
Yeah, you know, because they had a rep. It's a bit of a library there in Austin. It's the rep that they'd always had. You go watch these games now, just on TV, it feels different.
That's funny, because Graham went there. That's what Georgia used to be.
Yeah.
Even winning 10 games, 10 winning 10 wins a year, it didn't matter. It was not the same experience as it is now at a Georgia game. Them games lit now. And when I say lit, they got the LED lights and the whole place turned red, and they playing Pastor Troy, and you know, like it really goes down in Georgia now. It was a country club when I went there.
Now, I think there's two levels to it, right? I think one of them is producing the television product, right? Like how this looks, because the SEC football looks different on television than anybody else's. When that game starts at 3:30 on CBS, it doesn't matter which stadium it is. When they got that shot and the sun shining, they pan on the field and then they come out and they show the crowd, it don't look like that at Pac-12 games. It doesn't feel that same way in any of these other places like it does in the SEC. And so if you walked, as that went more and more, recruits are not just watching that. They go into the games, right? Like at Auburn, they still ain't found no new rap song since that young jock came out, but somebody told them, y'all going to need to play some of this rap out here, because these boys, that's what they want in Georgia. You know, there's some weird stuff at Georgia about what players they do and don't want and what positions or whatever and the history that comes with that. But they looked up at one point and was like, baby, we try to win. These boys like this rowdy music. We're going to need to play some of it. And when Nick Saban shows up in your conference, everything has to change, because Nick Saban don't give a damn what your school used to do. Right? We gonna do what needs to be done to get these boys. He went down to LSU and changed everything about what they were in terms of race and perception and all of that, because he's like, y'all want to win or not? Okay, cool. This is what we gonna do.
Well, Bo, we gotta ask this question immediately, because I know our fan base is gonna want to know. Georgia's not in the college football playoffs. Texas is. And you know, you're talking about Texas. Does Texas deserve to get in over Georgia, the defending back-to-back national champions, as you talk about, them boys in Georgia that are doing big.
I'm not gonna like this answer.
You're not going to like the answer, but I think you will like it more than you think it will. You will at the beginning, right? It's really hard to be as good as they have been for 3 straight years. It's just really tough. And you go look at every school that's tried to do that third run, that third year in the run, that I'm just going off the top of my head. 2002 Miami is a great example. That one that lost against Ohio State. But if you go look, that whole season, it didn't quite feel right. Like their defense wasn't good that year, which is strange. But something felt just a little bit off, right? Like all the games and all the pressure just seemed to wear on them, and something was just a little bit off. And as good as they were to win all the games, they never felt quite like the dominant team they had felt like the couple of years before that. 2005 USC, people were trying to say that was the best team of all time at the time, but not anybody that was actually watching them. They were not nearly as good as they were the year before, and it was a similar case. So, yeah, you got Leinart in his fifth year. You got Reggie Bush and Lindell White in their third years and Dwayne Jarrett and all of that, but there was just something about trying to maintain that. They almost lost that game to Notre Dame where Reggie Bush had to push him in. That Reggie Bush game against Fresno State, they almost lost to Fresno State, right? Mm-hmm. It's just hard to do it in that third year, and I think for Georgia – especially with everything, like, you know, with all the stuff with, like, the street racing stuff and everything else, like, the boys went through a lot in the course of this last year, and they did not have that defining win. 2013 Alabama is another example where they lost that crazy game to Auburn at the end, but they got to the end of that year without having that big win that got them there. And Texas got a win over Alabama. That's a funny win, because it seemed like a big deal at the time, and then it didn't seem like a big deal because we thought Alabama was going to be sorry. And then Nick was like, what if I go 12-1? What you got now, boys? And that becomes the argument right there.
Yeah, I felt the same way about it. I felt like college football, the powers that be wanted Bama in. Regardless, like they're gonna always want Bama in. That's a win-win if you get Bama in the playoffs, but you can't put Bama in this year and not take Texas. So who does that kick out? Georgia, and it kicks out Florida State. You know what I mean? So I didn't think about it till the other day. I was talking to my boy Scudder. You know Scudder.
Oh yeah.
We was like, man, the Georgia loss screwed up everything. Georgia lost, like it set off a whole thing of dominoes, and it just messed up the whole thing. And like, sorry FSU, us losing screwed you too. You know what I mean? So it's
my favorite thing on that is Florida State trying to use that is that we need to get out the ACC, and it's like, baby, it ain't even about that, man. Y'all just man out.
It's hard. Like,
just figured that out,
dude. Not you. This year. This offseason, this postseason, it really let us know how big Bama is. Georgia was on top of the world for almost three whole years. We're the biggest thing smoking. And then we got a reminder that them folks right there, that juggernaut over there that's been rolling for how long now with Saban?
Allow me to take a moment to point that out, because I think this is I think people have underestimated how cold this has been, right? So you remember that first year when he got there, and I think they went like 6-6. They went to the Independence Bowl. But what people don't realize about that year was they lost to Georgia by 3 points. They lost to Florida State by 7. They lost to LSU by 7. They lost to Mississippi State by 5. They lost to Louisiana Monroe, because Saban always had one of those weirdos early, by 7. They lost to Auburn by 7. All one-loss games. I mean, one-score games. And then from there, since that has happened, they have, and I am not exaggerating here, finished in the top 10 15 years in a row, and it's going to be 16 when you add this one off.
That's silly.
Yeah.
How in the world? How in the world do you do that? And on top of that, the one team they had that didn't feel that good, that 2010 team that lost 3 games, right? They lost to Jordan Jefferson. They lost to Jordan Jefferson twice. That's a whole nother story. But they lost to South Carolina, lost to LSU, and then the crazy game to Auburn where Cam brought them back that year. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, that team wasn't very good. And they went out there and beat Michigan State so bad. And Michigan State had Kirk Cousins. And his mother beat, that's when I broke the beat them down out for the first time because it was so savage to watch. That was a bad Alabama team. They showed up in the bowl game and won by like 45 points.
Yeah, and they had a dozen future like NFL, you know, multi-year starters on the line of scrimmage.
Yes. Yes. And that's before Saban really got it rolling. That's the 1.0 Saban.
Right. Well, yeah, we got a reminder that what they mean, not only how good they are on the field, but just the brand.
Yes.
The brand got them in the playoffs this year. I don't care what nobody say. The brand put them where they are. And the brand just happened to be able to push Texas in there too. Because Texas put that thing on. I don't care what nobody say. That was a world class beating. So you could not tell me we weren't gonna do the same to them. Mm. You know, and I got surprised.
They got better, man. Like Jalen Milroe, H-Time, by the way, just want to throw that out there. Jalen Milroe.
H-Town.
Again, this is why Texas had to join the SEC. Like, we gotta slow this stuff down. But Milroe, I don't know how that boy has any time to study his playbook with all that time he clearly spent lifting weights. Like he's
a running back.
Jack, dog. Like a running back. But he got better. He got better, and he's like, it's basically going to be an incomplete pass or a big play. Like, they figured out how to cut out the in-between sort of catastrophic things. And Saban made what I think turned out to be a brilliant move, which was to not start him against South Florida, which I am convinced was entirely Nick Saban shutting people up. They're like, oh, yeah, this boy ain't that good. This boy the problem. He's like, let me show you what else we got out here. I bet y'all won't ask for them boys to come out here ever again.
No, that's funny.
That's the
man was saying something.
Well, the boom or bust kind of thing that you were talking about with Milroe is where he proved me wrong in the SEC championship game. Like going into that game, I was like, okay, this is an offense that lives off big passing plays. What has Georgia been really good at not doing under Kirby Smart? Giving up big passing plays. Like they'll be fine. And Georgia did hold them yardage wise to a reasonable number. It was like 306, I think, but he was extremely clutch down the stretch of that game when they needed first downs. And whether that was with his legs or making tight window throws with his arm on short to intermediate balls, like he did what Georgia basically said, we're going to force you to do this. And if you can do it, then we might get beat, but we don't believe you can. And he did it. And he deserves credit for that. Like he has become a very different player over the last 3 months.
Yeah. I want to know how Alabama just keep rolling the same wide receiver off the assembly line. Like, if you know, it's funny, the last 5 years, all their receivers look exactly the same physically. About 5'10", somewhere between 5'10" and 6 foot, about 190 to 205, maybe just tanks, just bowling balls of dudes. That's the exact same guy over and over and over again. You can't do nothing with them.
That's what they want. This one, big,
George, we got to switch it, man, because see, Bamani, he's going off on Saban, right? Our fan base ain't going to like it. We got so many Bama people in our mentions. It's crazy. What are your thoughts on Kirby, though, the last few years and Kirby coming underneath Nick Saban, obviously from Alabama, but the job that he's done the last 2 to 3 years, obviously going for a three-peat this year, which fell a little bit short. What are your thoughts on Kirby Smart?
I mean, it's amazing. He is, I mean, already the best coach in the history of the program, right? Like, no disrespect to Vince, but let's be honest about this. You look at what Kirby has managed to pull off. This program has never been at these heights consistently when it was not centered around Herschel Walker, right? Like, as much as all of us love Vince Dooley, even Vince Dooley ain't stupid about this, right? Like, you know what the clear line of demarcation is. 1980, and I guess they stretched it to 83. But, like, clearly we know what time it is with that program. What Kirby has done is not the job that Mark Richt took 20 years ago, right? Like the ceiling on this program is so much higher because of the ceiling on the population center of Atlanta, the access to talent that there now is, except for the fact that Georgia ain't even recruiting the Atlanta area so much in that way. They are knee deep in the most talented area in the country, and they ain't even got to do that. They just go get whoever it is that they want. And they just keep Right. And they're just like, this is no longer a regional program. It has never been a national program in the way that it is right now. And that's Kirby. My question about Kirby is, at some point, the offense is going to have to become a little bit more daring. Like, that's my thought at some point, except they won two national championships with Stetson Bennett when I thought that that wasn't possible either. But it felt a lot like he was playing like the beta version of Saban Ball, that 1.0 version. And you wonder when the 2.0 is going to come, or maybe not, because I don't even have to look at the roster and know they just going to roll out here next year with a bunch of cold ass dudes. That's going to make this look just like they did the year before. Like, they're not going to have Bowers, obviously, and that's going to hurt. There'll just be some other super fast guy. Like, George Pickens up there killing it with the Steelers when he can get his mind right. George Pickens is down there in Georgia being really talented and us wondering if he was ever going to put it together, and it didn't matter. They just giving the ball to somebody else.
Yeah. I think Georgia's in a space where I think they have opened it up a little bit. You know, they rank – they've been in the top –
top 10.
10 to top 7 offenses in the country the last 3-4 years or whatever. And but I think we're at the cross point in, I think, all of sports, really, because I watch it in basketball too, where it got so much finesse that bully ball really works now. You know what I mean? Like, the light bulb kind of went off with the 2020 Lakers. They were bigger than everybody. I know this is basketball, but it's going to make sense to you. They were so big that it didn't matter. And yes, you call it bubble or whatever, they had to play them games. And they were just so much bigger than everybody, with Dwight and JaVale and whoever else had out there. And it kind of nullified the finesse game. So the thing is, now when these teams in football are built for finesse, built to stop the pass, built to be fast, and you get a team that comes in that can bludgeon you and you don't have anything to stop it. You know, and so that's what I think is happening now with the teams that, you know, that ultimately win it. You know what I mean? They can bludgeon you if they need be, like Georgia did the last couple of years.
I think that's the thing that people lose sight of, man. And you know, you guys got more actual football background than me, but I don't care what the analytics or anything tell people. Getting hit in the mouth over and over again, man, that's undefeated, dog. That, you can tell me how many more yards you can get than anything else. I just can't imagine the feeling of just lining up and, you know, they just going to lean on us all day long, man. And there's nothing we can do about it.
What do you think about playoff is going to, what is it, 12?
12 teams.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Why?
You know, I'm all out on the playoff completely. Because I just don't think it
– yes.
It's a television attraction. It doesn't give you a truer champion, right? Like, the more rounds you play, the more likely it is a good team loses. You know, like having a conference championship game, for example. I'm a Big 12 fan. We don't watch so many teams from the Big 12 get knocked out because they had to play this extra game, that extra game, that 03 Oklahoma team that looked like the best team I had ever seen. Got knocked out in that game. They still made it, but you know what I mean? The same idea just kind of cuts down on your chances. And so they can go to 12 if they want to, but, man, the number 12 team ain't got no business stepping on the field in most seasons with the number 5 team that we're going to see in these rankings, especially not if they get, like, some kind of break to prepare. Because that's what was killing. When Alabama would go out there and play against Michigan State or Washington, having a month to get ready, I'm just like, bro, y'all ain't got no chance for this, man. Like, you give these people a month to cook up a game plan and they got better players. Like, this just ain't going to happen. So they can add to it and it'll add more television inventory, but I just don't feel like it's going to add to our overall level of enjoyment of it. Like, I think it's better for the coaches to not have 12, because when you don't make the playoffs and it's only 4, it's not that big a deal. When you be like, yo, you've been here 7 years and you ain't been in the top 12 once, like, now suddenly Lane Kiffin stop looking like a success and start looking like, hey, man, you can't just get up over that little line right there.
Well, so you talked about the level of enjoyment, but what about, okay, so you're out on the college football playoffs, but you got the portal, which everybody's talking about, you know, this is disrupting my level of enjoyment. I'm losing this player, losing that player. What are your thoughts on the portal? What's your thoughts on NIL? Because that's really changing college athletics, even though it's been a long time coming. But what are your thoughts?
My big thought on, like, I think the most unique or interesting thought I have about NIL is we need to make sure these boys ain't getting, like, robbed on these contracts. Because a lot of these contracts, I bet, are looking like payday loans, where they giving these dudes a little bit of money right now, and then they saying they're going to get a cut of their money once they get to the league or the next level of their lives. Like, I think we're going to come back on the back end and find out a lot of guys have been stolen from in a way that's terribly uncomfortable. The transfer portal, the hypocrisy of allowing coaches to leave whenever they wanted to, but players had to wait a year, necessitated this world where now the players can leave after a year. It is my belief that a lot of terrible decisions are being made. And I don't think this is helping these players, right? Like, so I think about Quinn Ewers, for example, who left Ohio State when he lost that job to CJ Stroud and he came to Texas. It worked out okay, that's fine. Got you. That dude could have been throwing to Xavier Worthy is cool, but that dude could have been throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. He still would have got that job. Whatever his draft situation was going to be exactly the same. All you got to do is put up 1 year of good film. Go ask Joe Burrow. Go ask Cam Newton. Like, you don't have to have all these years of film. You don't need to play all these years. And I think that long-term for these players, like, George, you tell me if I'm wrong here. Being at Georgia for 4 years allowed you to make the relationships and things that have guided, like, the direction of your life, right? And put you in positions where there's people looking out for you that would not have looked out for you if you had just stayed there for a year and then bounced and gone somewhere else, or you had showed up late and you were the guy who transferred in to be on the SEC champion, right? Like, that's not the same. I'm looking at these dudes like, don't you want a car dealership? You ain't gonna get no car dealership bouncing around all these places, man. They would be so much better off sticking around and y'all not going to the league. That's the other point. If I felt like these dudes were doing all this bouncing and then they gonna go to the league, like, you just going somewhere to play somewhere else? What are you talking about? That just doesn't make any sense to me. But that's where we are. And so with the portal, everybody has the right to make bad decisions. But I think we need to be honest about the fact that this portal is leading to a lot of terrible, terrible, terrible decisions.
I think that part of it needs to be highlighted. It's twofold for me. I'm 100% for the portal, just because you get to make a decision on that affects your life, whether it be good or bad. Hell, everybody gets to make decisions, good or bad, that's going to affect their life. Why cut it off at a kid that's making the decision on where to play football, where to lend his talents to? So, yes, I'm 100% for it. I think the bad decisions, maybe even if it's just, it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to name names, but maybe, hey, put those numbers out there. Like, who finds a home? Put it out there, like, let these kids know, you know, it's the same way with how you find out your draft status, you know, lean up into it like, hey, I'm thinking about going to the league, send your name in. You come back, John, you're a 7-round pick. If you came out this year, John knows to sit his ass back at whatever state university he's at. He knows he's got the info. I think there needs to be something in the place like that for the portal. Maybe it is. Maybe I don't know how it goes now with putting your feelers out there for, you know, portal action or whatever. But I tell you what, it can be scary. It's a lot of kids that go unpicked, and like in my mind, I think it's unfortunate. And I don't know how you don't know and why anybody didn't put it in your, didn't give you the, I guess, the knowledge that, hey, you ain't really like that.
Yeah, you know that, nobody wants to tell these, like, everybody thinks they're going to the league. Like, yeah, nobody wants to be the person to tell a kid it ain't for you, right? Like, I've been there working as a college professor, and you don't want to be the one to be like, yo, you just need to drop this class, dog. You ain't really, economics ain't for you, right? Like, you don't want to be the person, but you're right. Somebody got to be the one to be
somebody
like,
somebody got to tell, like, them, you ain't like that.
And going stay pro and something other than sports.
You got a scholarship right here, and, you know, at a great university. You might play, you might not, but I'm telling you, if you're not playing here now, if you leaving to go get a bag, go get it, because 99.9% of these kids not going to NFL. And I explained it earlier in the show. that if you can get some life-changing money to enter this world with, because this world is an MF-er.
Yes.
You know, if you can get some life-changing money to enter this world with, assuming you took care of and all that, that most college kids, college graduates don't have, go do that. You know, because you're not guaranteed to make it into this league. You know what I mean? If you're leaving to go get a bag from somewhere, go do that. If you're leaving because you ain't playing, and you leaving and you think you're trying to stay in Division One because you ain't playing, and P5 because you ain't playing. If you ain't playing at Georgia, you're probably not going to play at Auburn. You're probably not going to play at Clemson. You're probably not going to play at Florida State. You need to, you know, be real with yourself. And somebody need to tell these kids, hey, you're not like that. And they need to point out who the kids are that's in the portal that are like that. they getting picked first.
Well, you know what I mean? Here you go. Because this is a great transition, because didn't Dion tell a bunch of kids that they weren't like that?
Yeah, so he told them kids they was like that before he even looked at them. Like some of the dudes he told wasn't like that. They was more like it than their replacements. Like them offensive linemen that he ran out of there. They wasn't like it.
Could have been worse than what they had.
Right. They wasn't saying they was like that. They was like, no, we like this. We are like this. And he ran them off. But I say this about Dion. Dion would have built this program 40% transfers, 40% grad transfers, and then 20% high school recruits. And I mean, this is a generalization. I'm not 100% like precise on what I'm about to say here, but you telling me that 80% of your roster is quitters.
Yeah.
Like some of them were making an upgrade and getting in these places, but you're getting a whole lot of quitters out here, man. And I do think that there's something to looking at it, like beyond just the pragmatics of trying to make a football team or whatever. I think there's something truly about, hey, this is a challenge. I'm gonna make this happen. I want to do this here. I'm about to get it done. Like there's something to that is very important. And mm-hmm. I thought that if you didn't want to leave so bad that you were willing to sacrifice a year, you probably needed to stay.
I never thought about it in this way. And it's odd because it's my story. I didn't play right away. I got redshirted. Probably got my first start in my redshirt sophomore year. Didn't start the whole year. Then I started for real my red shirt junior year or no red shirt freshman year, my first start. Red shirt sophomore year, probably started for real, you know, all the games. Then my red shirt junior year comes, we get a transfer in, and we got three senior tackles that are pretty good. And so I start rotating, me, John Stinchcomb, Kareem Marshall, you know, and then you know. Even the question came up when I was going into the draft, why you rotate? You know, you're pretty good player. And my answer to the question is I don't know. You know what I mean? Most kids, and that was in my situation in college, because, you know, there were times when I thought I should have been playing, you know, more than I was, or should have been playing period, or should have been starting. And people would definitely be in my ear like, man, why are we boys, you know? Why you ain't the dude? I'm like, I don't know. I just love playing ball, and I'm gonna go work and see where it takes me. You know, it could be the league or whatever the case may be. But I don't think people know, I don't remember the real number. I think it's an odd number. So it's either like 11 or 13 starts my entire college career out the 20th pick in the draft. I don't think people know that. People think, you know, George Foster, all SEC, blah, blah. I wasn't all nothing. I wasn't all SEC, wasn't all American. I just played hard and played ball and minded my business and stayed eligible.
And
I was the first lineman taken off that team over the All Americans. Of all of that, I was the second tackle overall in my draft class. You know what I mean? I understand if you want to leave. I am a proponent of kids leaving if they want to leave. But I can tell you, you better make the right decision. You know, I got a close friend that, you know, I don't think he minds me saying that. He probably wish he had stayed at Georgia. because the coach that he was going to go play for came to Georgia anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he left to go play for another coach, and he ended up coming to Georgia, and he was stuck out there. And I feel like he was a good player. He was good enough to get some run at Georgia eventually. You know what I mean? Now, granted, I couldn't think in the way these kids think now because the option wasn't there. You know, but the premise is still there, that you have to go to a place that, you know, you roll the dice and you hope it's the right decision. But a lot of good can happen with staying with your program. It's happened with the Georgia. Who are those kids that went in the first round for Georgia a couple years ago? You had for the Packers?
Quay Walker.
Yeah, that was Walker. His first year starting. I think that was Tindall's first year starting. Yeah. I think that Jalen Carter. Did he start? He started 1 year.
One year.
I think Jalen Carter.
Look at what Stetson, how bad Stetson Bennett wanted it. Now,
fourth round. Nobody thought he would do anything.
But the idea, though, even if he never got drafted, there's a car dealership waiting on that boy in Athens the second he won it. There's a radio job waiting on him.
Sell insurance for the rest of his life.
He would never be, even if they didn't win a national championship, he would never be loved anywhere like he was for the fact that he loved Georgia and he stuck it out there at Georgia. Yeah. You know, and that's where there's a long game to be played. Part. Yeah.
It's a glorious long game, too.
Yo, like, people don't get me. There's no grown people. Like, there's grown people to talk to you about that money to make it to the league. But I guess maybe you need more guys, like, just throw a name out there. I don't know if Eric Zier be around all the time, but I bet you Eric Zier show up at Athens, they happy to see him. There's something to be said about having a place where people are happy to see you. Bobo don't get to call his plays at Georgia all these years.
Let me tell you who's the man. David Green.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. He is him. In Georgia, he is him. You know what I mean? Stetson got some championships. David Green is him.
He was there for
the resurgence. They love David Green.
He was there for the resurgence.
Yeah, they love David Green. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I'm glad you brought that up. Aaron Murray, he's the guy. They love Aaron. Like, when you find out how big these kids are when they invite us back, I don't get the same roar as these guys. You know what I'm saying? But you sitting there and they bring you out during the game and they, you know, say 2007 or 2012, all-SEC, blah, 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 Aaron Murray, the crowd going to go bonkers. You know, the crowd is going to go bonkers. And you can parlay that into a lot. Let me tell you that. You know, I see it happening all the time. You know, DJ Shockley is the mayor around here. DJ Shockley, when he was with the Falcons, they used to call him the mayor. You had Michael Vick on that team, and Shock was just as popular.
And sat on the Oak for 4 years as a high four-star, five-star recruit.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably had no business sitting for those 4 years.
No.
David Green was there, right?
But he didn't give it up. David Green won a lot of games. He won more games than Peyton Manning, I believe. Like, you know what I mean? He won a ton of games, and it worked out for him. Shock had to sit. Shock came in, won him an SEC championship, got drafted. He's doing the news here in town. He's the Falcons color guy. He does games. He does the Bulldogs. You know, he parlayed that. He doesn't just do football now. He is the sports guy for is he 11 or is he Channel 2 or WS? I don't know, but he is the sports guy.
And he could have transferred at any point to that and been like, yo, like North Carolina got a spot. And it wouldn't have been the same, man. It just never would have been the same. He got it at Georgia because he waited. They love
and
you him
definitely
in
not gonna go, wait. And you're definitely not going to go transfer in conference and get that same love. You know what I mean? I love Brock Vandegrift, and I want him to go play. I want him to go, you know, because, you know, I've known his dad for a while and all that. I want the kid to go be successful. he's not going to be looked at the same when he comes back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially when he comes to town, you know, for Kentucky the next two years. And when he's done, they're going to be like, oh, I remember you. But it ain't going to be like Aaron Murray.
Nope. Hey, man, there's something to be said for having a place where they're happy to see you.
Oh, well, the funny thing too is Eric Zeier and DJ Shockley are both part of the Georgia radio crew for all the football games. Like they got a spot. You got a spot.
Eric Zeier ain't win a damn thing. The best thing Eric Zeier did was get a ball to Garrison Hurst. It don't matter, man. They know, like you've been here for. I remember when it was such a big deal that they got him in the first place, right? Like this was, you know, it was. But it's your spot now, and you got. I think. These kids, in the way that we've made youth sports so transactional, the idea of like committing to an institution is kind of blown. And so, yeah, you shouldn't be blindly loyal to these places. And if they're not doing you right, you should leave. But if the only problem is I can't get on the field, then get your ass on the field, man.
But yeah. Ronnie, that leads me to this. That leads me to this because I know you got to go and we got to, you know, continue to wrap up some things here on our show. But what changes would you make? What would you do if you're in control of college football, when we're talking about the playoffs, we're talking about the portal, we're talking about NIL, life according or college football according to Bomani Jones, what would it be?
Pay the players. They don't pay the players now. They let the players get money. Right. That's not the same thing. Actually pay the players. Because, see, the thing is, once you actually pay the players, now you can do some stuff around all these things that we're talking about. Like, you can get engaged in different sorts of agreements and start figuring, you know, if they just paid like everybody else pays people, I think that they would solve a great deal of their problems. That will always be my number one. Like, I think the NIL discussion has gotten us to a point where we have lost sight of the fact that these kids are still being treated wrong. This is still not what it should be or what it's supposed to be. So I'll be carrying this to the end. We did something on Game Theory, a show I did on HBO. And people didn't realize this, man. Them boys on average are getting less than $1,000 off of NIL. Across the board. There's a few people getting money at the top, and you see, like, Caleb Williams doing Wendy commercials. Man, most of these cats ain't getting no money. You know, the money they get is from these weirdos who just enjoy paying college players money walking down the street. You know, who make all this money will love nothing more than just put it in the players' pockets.
And it has and a lot of people feel like that has an expiration date. Like, everybody wants a return on investment. Yep. And when is the return going to happen with the current model? I don't know. You know what I mean? And it probably never will. And you got kids not getting paid that were promised to get paid, you know, stuff like that. And that's another reason why these kids are leaving these schools too. They were promised something.
Get paid.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. You know, I would leave too.
I got you. Y'all in the eye. Look, there was a story about the Pony Express days, and the thing I respected about the Pony Express, like the infamous line about we got a payroll to meet, and the origin of that line was the NCAA came and caught them, and they're like, all right, no more paying players, and they were like, no, we have a payroll to meet. Yo, how can you not respect that? They was like, yo, we told these boys we gonna pay them. And like,
ED waiting on his check on Friday.
Yes, but there was a story.
Eric Dickerson would leave today.
There was a story about halftime of one of those games that one of their star players told them he found out another one was making more money, and he was like, give me a raise or I ain't coming out for the second half.
Oh, wow.
Yo, man, that's awesome. Owe me money.
the thing is, man, I still don't think the players realize, because I definitely didn't realize how much power they still do hold. Even, you know, like, they could change the game. They could probably change the game in a way that you're talking about right now. Do you remember when Mizzou team was like, we ain't playing Saturday.
Yep.
They fired Buddy immediately. Yeah. They were looking at missing.
It one, had to be done.
One weekend at that stadium, which ain't that big. They wanted the revenue for that weekend. One weekend at that little bitty stadium. And that school was like,
oh, no, hey, because It was a big revenue gain because I think they was playing BYU at Arrowhead. Like, this is one of the times that they was going to cash in, and them boys said they wouldn't go play.
I thought it was at home. Oh, okay.
I think it was like, it was home, but they took it to Arrowhead. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing about playing against BYU is, however many Mormons is in your little municipality, they coming. They're right, so you take that out there, but you're right, they fired that dude the next day.
Like, that's the power they hold. But you're right about paying the players, because I think the NCAA football is turning into another pro league anyway. When you think about it, it's a different pro league. It's a pro league with an age limit. That's what it is. If you treat it like that, I think it can turn into something cool, I think. It's just a pro league with an age limit.
The new proposal to, basically bring all this in-house and split Division One into schools that can afford to, I think, pay all their roster, what, $30,000 a year, is it? Is that like the floor or something? But they just put this proposal out from the inside of the NCAA last week, or 2 weeks ago, which is the most revolutionary thing I've seen the NCAA do in my lifetime. Like, I think it's coming, and I think if you talk to coaches quietly, like, they don't want to get up and use their platform to lobby for this stuff for lots of different reasons, but, like, they would much prefer all of this to come in-house and not having to wonder, like, what is this collective doing? Are they going to try and recruit the same guy I'm recruiting? Like, what, there's a lot of just red tape and tangled webs to navigate for these guys right now on top of everything else they have to do with their jobs. And, like, I think that anything that would make this simpler and more direct is good, and it needs to happen.
I agree.
All right, well, Bomani Jones, where can the people see you, man? I mean, everybody loves to hear your voice. You get that iconic voice, and you know a lot about sports, a lot about everything, quite honestly. But where can people continue to see your face, see your stuff?
Well, the right time with Bomani Jones is still cracking. We took it over to Wave Sports and Entertainment. It's a bit more of a YouTube operation, but we're still doing the podcast. But there is a channel for the right time with Bomani Jones. Put us in YouTube. We're on 3 times a week. We go live Monday, Wednesday. Well, we broadcast on YouTube Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern. Same regular guests that we've had. I'm working on broadening this out. I got to get more of the homies on to the show, but no, we're there and we're going, man. Go keep this rolling.
All right. We appreciate you coming on. You're welcome anytime.
Thank Just stop on it. Cool, man.
Just let us know.
We appreciate you.
Look, I told George, I was like, man, I looked up one day. I've been like, damn, I've been trying to get on this. I got out the HBO world. I got a chance. And then Georgia messed up and lost. But I was glad that y'all didn't let that stop y'all. I was afraid opportunities had been lost.
All right, brother. We appreciate you as always.
All right, man. You guys be good.
All right, man.
I appreciate y'all.
All right.
All right, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yep. Hey, Bomani Jones, brothers. How was that?
Good. Bomani always has interesting takes on a myriad of things. He's very, very well thought out person. He ain't spewing a whole bunch of ridiculousness. he speaks so well about what he speaks about.
Mm-hmm.
he can get his point across better than most people.
Exactly.
So it's good to have him on. He made some good points about a few things.
Well, we got to get back to the main thing. We didn't give Graham the floor.
Oh, no.
What is it, Graham? What you got for
us, Graham? I got to follow that? Come on now.
Let me set the table. Because before you came on, we were talking about the portal.
That's what I
thought. A little bit. But mainly, we were talking about the big news that hit Dog Nation with the thought of Dylan Raiola possibly decommitting to Nebraska. What are your thoughts on that? Give us some intel. Give us what you know. Give the people what you know. Because we got to calm down, Dog Nation, with all this. They think the sky's falling, baby.
Well, it's interesting you kind of, ask about Raiola and the portal in the same question. Because they are at their core, they're the same issue, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's the issue we were just talking about with Bomani. It is, I'm special. I should be on the field, you know, like, and that's the hardest thing. And George, I mean, you know, it's different, I think, from when you came up, like this modern recruiting era with star rankings and thousands of fans, like sucking up to these kids, these 15, 16, 17, 18 year old kids on Twitter. Like sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to watch, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's just, look, man, like, I think all of us as human beings, like we have to sometimes to get to where we want to go in life or to be happy where we are in life, like we have to defeat the ego a little bit, right? Like we have to do some work on that, and that thing will pop up and you got to knock it back down sometimes. And to be in those formative years and have everyone telling you how great you are and how you're going to change their program when, you know, when you might, but in reality, you are one of 25 in that class, or you are one of, you know, however many that are going to come in the transfer portal. Like the NFL draft is an event for outliers. It is. It's the 1% of the 1%, you know, I mean, there's only, what, 256 slots, I think, in the draft. Like, that's not that many guys. And I just, you know, not everybody's going to get drafted. And, you know, there are guys who they get somewhere and it's not a fit, or mom's, you know, not doing well. Like, there's good reasons to transfer. But, I mean, you brought it up earlier, George, like Quay Walker, Channing Tindall, these guys who were five-star recruits, who were number one, like, inside linebacker in their class kind of thing, and waited 3 years to get on the field. Like, and then when they got there, they balled out and they went to the league, and, you know, in a lot of ways there's less mileage on their bodies and they might have a better chance of making it to their second contract. But like with this Raiola thing, I got to know him a little bit. I went out to Elite 11 and was around him. Like, I want to be clear. I think he is a good kid. I think he's a well-intentioned kid. You know, and I didn't experience him as, you know, a bad kid or anything like that. But at the same time, like, four high schools in 4 years, this will, you know, if he leaves Georgia, it'll be his third commitment within, I think, a couple, you know, years. At some point in life, like, there is power in staying through things that are uncomfortable, or fighting through what you want. And like when I was a kid, you know, I wanted to play football really, really bad. My dad, son of a high school football coach, coached in Georgia and Cartersville and all over, like, for many years. And so he had one rule when I wanted to sign up for football, and that was you don't quit. Like if you're going to sign up, then, like, you know, you're going to play the whole season. And I was, you know, at that time in life, I think I was like 10 years old, and, you know, some of the kids were more grown up than I was. And I, you know, like was a smaller guy. And like, I went out there the first couple of weeks and I got the shit beat out of me. You know what I mean? Like, I was not a big kid. I was taking hits and I was not comfortable or having a good time. Right? But I knew that, like, I couldn't quit. And that, like, you know, that was never going to be an idea or a thought. And I stayed. And like, I got bigger and I got faster and I ended up starting some games at the end of the season. Right. And like, it was a good thing for, like, my self-confidence as a human being to, you know, have that experience of, like, being a little bit, you know, not a little wobbly on your feet and finding a way to steady yourself and then finding a way to be successful. And, you know, that's I was an Eagle Scout. I think a lot of that was because of that season, because, like, it was a long-term commitment. And, you know, I got a driver's license and, like, I wanted to, you know, chase girls and go do things. But, like, I had said I was going to finish that. And so I finished it. And now, you know, in life, that people, you know, it's on my resume, even as a 34-year-old man. And people ask about that and they're like, oh, like, you know, you must finish things. And so I think it's good to finish things. I'm with George. Like, I'm glad that people can leave and go if they need to go, or, you know, go take care of family and all of that. But in most cases, like they really shouldn't be leaving. You know, there's still a lot to learn. And, you know, Marvin Jones Jr., like Julian Humphrey is a really talented player. I had people close to Georgia's program in fall camp. Like, he is probably our most talented cover corner. And that is on a roster with Kamari Lassiter, you know. Like, at the end of the day, he wasn't getting on the field all the time because he didn't do the greatest job always of getting off blocks, and he didn't come up and run support the way that Kirby Smart defenses demand their boundary corners do. If he learns how to do that, he will be all the more successful in the NFL. He will be all the more successful at UGA. He can play
like Witherspoon at Seattle. I mean, he's got that type of body frame.
Yeah, you know? He's like built like a safety, you know. He's built like Starks, and he can come up and thump people. Like, he can be a really special player. And at the end of the day, I think what's probably going to end up happening if he does decide to hit the portal is, like, he's going to get a nice check to go back to his home state of Texas, and he's going to have pretty much a guaranteed starting job. And, you know, he's going to make some plays and make some interceptions and all of that. But, like, if I'm Georgia and I come to Austin, which I do on October 19th, I'm going to run the ball right at his ass, and I'm going to find out if he's learned how to, you know, get off blocks and be physical and run support. And, you know, point being, like, you might not want to do it at Georgia, but you better figure out how to do these things at some point, because if you don't, you're not going to get where you want to go in life.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Well, there's a lot. We got a lot of guys in the portal. And, you know, and I brought up the statement of, you know, dog fans, we need to calm down. Because, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the portal, but they're not guys that are going to make or break the entire operation. They're not tearing down the culture. They're not, you know, reestablishing anything for Georgia. They're guys that either we're not going to see a lot of time, or they're going to be depth guys. Or, like you just mentioned, with someone like Humphrey who may portal out, we haven't declared that yet. But at the same time, he still needs to grow. But there's other guys on that roster that are willing and dedicated to being that dude, willing to and dedicated to be a part of the Georgia culture. Nothing has changed. Like George said before you even got on, we're still at the top of the mountain. We're just allowing somebody to, you know, kind of see the mountainside and, from up there. And then all of a sudden we're going to take over again, because Kirby's got a good thing going. He's got a excellent culture development. Bomani was talking about the offense. The offense is still rolling. And guess what? Last time I heard, he hasn't put out any, you know, big time edits or anything like that, but Beck should be back. And as long as that guy's under center, I'm fine. You got a shot to win a title. Dude is going to be a first round pick next year. And if it wasn't for the plethora of quarterbacks coming out this year, he'd be a first round pick this year. This class is loaded in the NFL, and somebody's not going to have a job. I'm going to tell you that. All these guys that are coming out, you're not getting on the NFL roster, because there's so many guys coming out. You're not starting day one on an NFL roster. But next year, hey, the kid's going to be lights out, and he could be first round pick easily.
I mean, the other thing I would remind George, I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
I think with the thing with Georgia, and it's been said over and over since the Kirby Smart era started, is that, you know, and the players have, you know, reiterated this, that it's not for everybody. It's not. You have to be built a certain way. And I think Mr. Milton said it the other day, you know, on Twitter. I think he was like, everybody's not built to be a dog. Like, you, there's certain expectations. There's a certain level of work that's going to be put in, and you're going to do it their way because it works. You know what I mean? There's no leeway, and there can't be any. Like, the culture and the way of doing things can't waver, because then you start, you know, funny stuff start infiltrating your culture. You know, you have to stand on what you stand on, and keep it rolling, and get the guys in that are willing to adhere to it. You know what I mean? And so that's how they're gonna keep it rolling. That's how I would assume, you know, Kirby keeps it rolling. You know, and if you don't want to be there, you know, I think he'll be more than fine with letting you go do what you want to do. You know what I mean? And they'll get
and giving you a great recommendation.
Great recommendation, and it's plenty of people that plenty of kids that want to be in your spot. You know what I mean? So it'd be fine. And if it's a guy that's, you know, that wants your spot, that's maybe not as physically talented, whatever, understand that development happens at a high clip at that school. You know what I mean? So they'll get the players in there that fit what they want to do.
Thanks. Well, Graham, you got any other intel, any other news before we get up out of here today?
I mean, the last thing I was going to say is just, you know, the door swings both ways. And I would encourage Georgia fans to remember that. Like, there are some people that are on the way out, but there's about to be some people on the way in that you're going to be rather excited about. And, like, man, trust, you know, I tweeted this, I think, whatever day it was, I guess Monday now, when all this Riola stuff started coming out, the crystal ball and all that. And I was just like, if I was a Georgia fan, I would probably trust the staff that just won 29 games in a row. Like, I think they'll right? figure it out, you know.
Yes, they'll figure it out.
So I think it's going to be all right. And I'm excited to see, like, you know, I don't think Georgia wanted Marvin Jones Jr. to get in the portal and leave. He is a supremely talented football player. But now that he is gone, you know, this is the best, I think, problem-solving staff in college football. They solved a problem with JT and Stetson midseason with that whole situation. Like, there's many instances of them not having the guy they thought that was going to be there and figuring out on the fly midseason. I promise you they'll figure it out with this much time between, you know, now and the 2024 season starting. So it'll be fine.
Facts. All right. Well, we're going to have another banger next week. We got to start talking about the big Orange Bowl game. We got FSU coming in, and we gotta dig into that, because there's a lot of people pissed off. I mean, our Georgia fans are pissed off, FSU fans are pissed off, so we got to bring somebody in to talk about all this pissed off attitude that's going on around this game. So, but I can't wait to talk about it.
I don't know who's playing, who's not playing, but man, it's just, especially if this was back in the day. This with how everything shook out. If the potential was there for a slobber knocker. It's two teams that are mad about what happened, you know, a couple weeks ago, and there's potential there for a real, you know, throwdown. You know things are different in today's game with people sitting out, people transferring, all that. But I hope it's a really good game.
And we shouldn't get hung over because it's before New Year's too. So we shouldn't get guys hung over. should get a, you know, you might get some people to travel down there that can also get back, you know, back to their respective places before New Year. So it should be a pretty good game. I can't wait for it, quite honestly.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All right, fellas. With that being said, we'll see you at 100 Sanford. Go all Dogs. Right.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.